Okay, today's daf is Nida Daf Yud Dalet. Today's shiur is sponsored once again by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. We thank him very much for the sponsorship. We are holding at the Mishnah on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. We are three lines into the wide lines in Yud Gimel Amud Beis. The Mishnah is going to talk about how to be mitaher a woman who has no das and is unable to do things on her own. So how can we ever trust that she's tahara? And we're going to discuss a similar issue when it comes to a man, how a shota, a male shota, is ever allowed to eat truma. And then we're going to mention a couple of other things that relate to a chashash of hirhurim or kishui, such as the type of clothing one wears on the lower part of the body, riding animals in certain ways. And then the Mishnah Amud Aleph is going to talk about the bedikos that a woman does before and after Tashmish, and how soon after Tashmish does the bedik have to be certain that the husband was Boel Nida and that she was a Nida at the time of the Bia, to be Mesupak about it for Hashem Talui, or to say that we're not going to be concerned that the husband's a Boel Nida. The Gemara is going to give two reasons why we can't assume that if a man checks himself after Tashmish and finds some dam, that it must have just been a dam ma'acholas, blood of a bug. Why can't we assume that? Two reasons and a potential nafkamina between the two reasons. Then the Gemara is going to have two different cases where a person does check themselves right after Tashmish, but they don't look at the bedikah cloth right away. They only check it out later, or they only find the issue later on, what the status is in those two cases. On the top of Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to connect the machlokas about dam that's found later on an aid she'eno baduk, on a bedikah cloth that was not pre-checked, and we're going to connect that to machlokas tanayim about dam found in meiraglayim. So we're going to discuss briefly the issue of dam in meiraglayim as well, and then at the end of the daf, we're just going to define the terminology. We said already that the Mishnah is going to have three stages. There's doing a bedikah right away, there's doing a bedikah shortly thereafter, where it's going to be a safek and chayev hashem talui, and then there's a bedikah after that, which is not even going to be a safek. So how do we define those time frames? What's called right away? What's called achar? What's called achar diachar? So that's what we're going to have Bez Hashem at the end of the daf. So let's begin. We have some catching up to do. Says the Mishnah Yud Gimel Amud Beis, Hachareshes Vashota Vasuma Vishnich Vadaita, a woman who doesn't have das, whether she's a Chareshes or a Shota, or she's blind, or she's Nitra Vadaita, she went crazy. Im Yeshlan Pikchos Mesaknos Hasan Veinachos Petruma. If there are other women that are able to check them and be matbil them and do things that they need to do, then they can ultimately eat truma with the certification of these other women who have das. So frankly, Gemara Chareshes, a chareshes, just because she's deaf, who says she's not able to do bedikos to check herself for dam? Why can't she just be bodik herself? Detanya, Amar Rabbi, chareshes hayso b'shchuna seinu. Rabbi says that we had a chareshes in our neighborhood. Lo daya shabodekas atzma, el shechavrseh rose in Marusla. Not only was she bodekas herself, the everyone else relied on her. She had great knowledge in this area of Marus of dam, and people would show her their issues, and she would be able to clarify. So you're not even going to trust the chareshes about herself? So it says more, there are two types of chareshes. It depends whether she's able to communicate. Some chareshes are not able to speak or hear. So such a chareshes could have never been educated and therefore never developed a sense of das, and that's why we need a pikchos mesaknosan. That's our Mishnah. But a chareshes who's medaberes, so we see she's able to formulate thoughts and she's able to communicate, and if you write things down for her, she could read it or whatever. So such a chareshes is certainly a bas das, and therefore she could even be chavrasa rosu marusla. She could very much be trusted. Kedetnan cheresh shedubr cham b'kol makom einu shemei ve'enu medaber. Stam, when the Mishnah says cheresh, it means einu shemei ve'enu medaber, and that's therefore what our Mishnah must be talking about. Okay, Hasuma, our Mishnah also said that a blind woman cannot be trusted to check herself. So, I get why she can't look at her maros, but can't she do a bedika and then show the maros to somebody else and ask, is this clean? Do you see any dam on it? So, you're right, Suma doesn't belong in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is talking about a case where you need the pikchos to even do, well, the bedikos for the woman. Suma is able to do her own bedika. She just has to have someone else look at it for her. Vishanitrafadaita, so says Gemara, Hainu Shota. A nitrafadaita is the same thing as a shota. So why are they listed as two separate items in the Mishnah, as two separate categories of people? So says Gemara, Shanitrafadaita machmas choli. Shanitrafadaita means they're delirious because of some sort of illness that they have, as opposed to a person who's stam a shota, but it's a similar halacha. Tan Rabbanan, Kohen shota. What if you have a Kohen who's a shota and he wants to eat truma, so or we want to be able to give him truma, so what's the halacha? Magbilin also, we bring him to the mikveh, machilin also truma la'erev, and we can feed him truma that evening, umeshavar also shalishon, provided that we watch over him and make sure that he didn't fall asleep. Because once he falls asleep, we have to yashan tame, then he's going to be tame. We have to assume that he's tame if he fell asleep, because we have to assume that he was roa keri lo yashan tahar. But if he didn't sleep and we brought him to the mikveh that day and we watched and we know that he didn't sleep, then he's going to be tahar. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Tzadik, Omer osno kishel ar. No, you don't have to watch over whether he's sleeping or not sleeping. You can make a little bag that they put around his aver, and they could check that bag afterwards and see if there's anything in there, so they could see if he became a balkari. Omer lo kolshkin shemev l'dechimum. No, you can't do that. If you, the Chum said back to Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Tzadik, you do that, that's going to be maybe him to be a balkari, because it's going to be maybe l'dechimum. It's going to bring him to arousal. So he said back, yeah, but then there's nothing you could do for a shota according to you. You didn't come up with any workable solution. So they said, of course we did. Lidvareinu, we came up with a very good solution. That yashan tame, lo yashan tar. That as long as he didn't sleep, he's okay. That if he went to sleep, he's tame. But if he didn't go to sleep, he's going to be tar. Lidvarecha, but according to what you're saying, that you make this kiss, shemi yer tibistam chardel, even if you check the little kiss that you made for him and it doesn't look like there's anything in there, you still don't know that he's not a balkari, because there could have been some shech v'zera in the kiss and it just got absorbed in there. So tanami shom Rabbi Lazar amru osnal kishol mateches. So now Rabbi Lazar held that you have to make a kiss in a way that nothing would ever get absorbed in it. How do you make something in a way that nothing will get absorbed in it? Don't make a kiss shel or, like Rabbi Lazar ben Tzadik says, but rather make a kiss shel mateches, so nothing will get absorbed. It's made out of metal. So Amar Abaye v'shel nechoshes. And Abaye says, and if you want the least absorbent metal, it's nechoshes. How do I know that? Because in Derech Agav, the Tanoim used such a lashon to describe something made out of nechoshes when they were trying to express that which doesn't absorb at all. Where, in what context? K'detanya. Rabbi Do Amaronos of Givolin shel Ezov ki'ilu ein shel nechoshes. When it talks about sprinkling the ashes of the Paraduma, so it talks about how much you need to prepare, how much mechatas you need to prepare. So do you need enough to account for the absorption of the brush, so to speak, that they sprinkle with? Or can you just prepare just enough in the kli? So he said, no, we're allowed to view the givolin shalei ezov as if they're non-absorbent at all. So you don't have to account for absorption. Where, how does the Mishnah say, how does the Braisa say, as if they're non-absorbent at all? By using the words, ki'ilu ein shel nechoshes. So you see that nechoshes is the classical item that is non-absorbent. So I'm Rav Papa, Shema Mina, Michnasayim Asurim. Rav Papa just comments, well, wait a second, if we're going to be concerned about chimum by making some sort of kiss around this person, so then a person has to be careful about the clothing, the type of clothing that they wear on their lower extremities, so on their lower half of their body, rather. Michnasayim Asurim, so it's also to wear Michnasayim, tighter clothing around the lower part of the body. But doesn't the big dekun have michnasayim? How could the tanya michnasay kohanim l'mahin domin? Yeah, but the michnasayim that the kohanim wore, we know what they're like. K'min pamalyanya shel parashim l'mala ad musnayim l'mata ad yirechayim v'yesh lem shnatzim ve'en lem lo beis hanekev lo beis ha'erva. That these pants that they were loose, they were tied tightly around the waist and tightly again around the knees, and they had these drawstrings, but in between it was very loose. So as long as the person's clothing is very loose in that area, that's going to be fine. Amar Abaye, another issue relating to relating to things that could be maybe lidei chimum, rochvei gemalim asurin lechol betruma. People who ride camels are not allowed to eat truma. Meaning the assumption is, as Rashi writes, evreim mischamim bebasar gamal umotziim zera, that their ever is going to be mischamim, and that's going to cause them to become a balkeri, so they're not allowed to eat truma. Tanya namiachi rochvei gemalim kulum rishayim, that people who ride gemalim are all rishayim because they put themselves daily in such a position where they're always going to be roa keri. Hasapanim, sailors, kulam tzadikim. They're all tzadikim. Hachamarim, mehen rishayim, mehen tzadikim. Donkey drivers, donkey riders, some of them are rishayim, some of them are tzadikim. So just on that line itself, Tosfos says, wait a second, there's another Gemara that talks about different professions and who's a tzadik, who's a rasha in different professions. That's the Mishnah at the very end of Maseches Kiddushin. That's the famous line, Eni melamedes b'ni ela Torah. Right, the whole discussion, a person should teach them the nikius kala, and that's the line that says not nice things about being doctors and things. Right, that's a famous Mishnah. So says Tosfim, Tomer Damrin Perakasar Yuchsin, Gemalim Ruban Ksherim, Chamarim Ruban Listim. That it says Gemalim are Ruban Ksherim, and over here we're saying Gemalim are Kulam Rishayim, that they're all Rishayim. So says Tosfos, Yeshlomer Dachamari Berochvim, Umishum Hirhur, Vasim Lomari Beroch Mel Benosin Schoral. That the difference is, if you're talking about people who ride the camels, if you ride the camel, kulam rishayim. But those who put their wares on the camels to go schlep around from town to town, and they walk in front of the camel and they sell things off the back of the camel, so those people are rubam ksherim. Those people are mostly okay. So says Gemara Vayter, Igad Army had mechav. So again, we had this. We said that rochvei gemalim are aser to eat truma. So ikadamri had the mechav had the lo mechav. Vigadamri had the metartelin had the lo metartelin. That some say that there's a difference between whether the camel is saddled or not. That if it's saddled, then it's not a problem. But if it's not saddled, then it's just you directly on the camel itself. Then there is a problem. Others say it depends whether you put both legs on one side of the animal or one leg on each side of the animal. So if you're rochev ki'isha, like the Gemara talks about at the beginning of Maseches Pesachim, where two legs are on one side of the animal, then that's going to be fine, but one leg on each side of the animal is more problematic. Rabbi Shua ben Levi, another issue that Rabbi Shua ben Levi is going to raise that relates to chashash chimum, a chashash of arousal. Rabbi Shua ben Levi, layit aman degoni aparkit. He cursed someone who would sleep direct flat on their back. Eini v'am Rav Yosef praktan liyikro kriya shema. But didn't we learn that a proctor is not allowed to say kriyashma? But it sounds like otherwise you are allowed to lie flat on your back. So it says more linin migna kimatzi shapir dami linin kriyashma kimatzi yasir. Now the difference is kriyashma is a little more chamur when it comes to just lying on your back. If you just tilt a little bit, that's good enough. But when it comes to kriyashma, tilting a little bit is not good enough. Right? It has to be completely on your side. What about Rabbi Yochanan? Rabbi Yochanan leaned and he said Kriya Shema, he tilted a little bit and he said Kriya Shema. Now, Shaini Rabbi Yochanan, Dval Basar Hava, it wasn't practical for Rabbi Yochanan to be able to move his body more than that. He was a person who was a balbasar, so it was very difficult for him to move. So for someone like that, we make a special exception. Now, if I were to ask you, when the Gemara says that you're not allowed to be shachiv praktan, does that mean going to sleep, or does that mean just lying down? You're just stum, lying down, reading a book or something, so you're not allowed to be praktan. So it sounds from the Gemara, the Aruch Lener points out, that it sounds from the Gemara that it's even just stum, lying down. Because the Gemara asks Akasha, how can you say that it's a problem to be praktan? It only says you're not allowed to read Kriya Shema praktan. Well, when you're reading Kriya Shema, you're awake, Mistama. So if that's a stira, so it must be that we're assuming that you're awake, that you're not allowed to be shochev praktan even when you're awake. The Mishnah Berurah in Siman Reish Lamedtes, Sivkat and Vav writes that a person should be margilatzmo lishchev al tzido dafka, that he should train himself, accustom himself to lie down on his side, and that it's nisr gadol lishchov praktan. And he explains that means that mushla kalgabo upon of lamaila, where his face, he's facing straight up, he's flat on his back, or panav lamata. And he says, so it seems clear from the Mishnah Berurah that it's even just stam when you're lying down, even when you're not sleeping. And in Shona Alachas, he points out that from the, like the Aruch Lener says, from the Gemara, it's muchach, even when you're not sleeping. And Sefer Ochros Rabbeinu, they bring that the Chazon Ish said that it's also to be shochev prakton, even if you're awake and you're not sleeping, and that's what's muchach in the Gemara, and it's muvur that way in the Tosa Rush, in the name of Rashi, and in the Bira Lacha, he brings different Lashonos and Rishonim, and he says, Ludina ein lozos mi lashon Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says, Asul Adam lishon al arpo upon of Lamaila. Shulchan Aruch and Ebn Ezer, when he discusses this, Simon Chav Gimel, and Ebn Ezer says, you're not allowed to sleep that way, but to stam lie down is okay. So in the Chuvas Az Nidbaru, Rabbi Yamin Zilber was asked about what they said in the name of the Chazon Ish. Rabbi Yamin Zilber was a close Talmud of the Chazon Ish. They said in the name of the Chazon Ish that you're not allowed to lie down on your back even when you're not sleeping. And he says, I told you a klal gadol, I don't know how many times I have to repeat it. A klal gadol, that whenever you hear things in the name of the Chazon Ish that you didn't see his, in his own svarim that he wrote, you cannot trust that you understand what the Shmua was. People didn't understand him, they took things out of context. He says, you cannot trust that that's what the Chazon Ish said. Most likely the Chazon Ish said, and the Pshat and the Gemara also is, that if a person is lying down to go to sleep, even if he's not currently sleeping, but he's lying down for the night, that's what he's saying, that you're not supposed to be flat on your back. But if you just woke up and you just need a minute or two till you get out of bed, so you could lie down on your back. If you're lying down because you have a headache or something and you just need to be flat, to just be lying in bed for a little bit, but you have no plan of falling asleep, that would be technically mutter. That's what Rabbi Yamin Zilber writes, and he says that answers the Aruch Lener's question. The assumption of Kriya Shema is that you're saying the Kriya Shema right before you're allowed to go to sleep. Also, over here, it's interesting, the Gemara makes this exception for a balbasar. So we pask in this halacha about Kriya Shema in Shulchan Aruch, that a person could say Kriya Shema when he's mahalich, romid, or shochev, or rochev, agabe behemo, yoshev, but not a praktan. Praktan, when he's lying flat on his back, he's not allowed to, but it could be shochev al tzido, and if he's a balbasar, or he's a chola, he could even just lean a tiny drop, and that would be good enough. So that's directly from our Gemara. In Nishmas Avram, he quotes from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, where he asks for Shlomo Zalman, certainly you're allowed to read Kriya Shema sitting up, right? You don't need to be leaning on your side, lying down, leaning on your side. Sitting up, there's no shaila that you're allowed to read. So how much sitting up is called sitting up? Meaning now you have hospital beds. There's been some why he asked him, because hospital beds, you could just elevate it a little bit. We have pillows. Whenever flat on a bag, you pick up your pillow, picks up your head a little bit. So Shlomo Zalman said, if you pick up the hospital bed just a bit, you angle it just a bit, or if you have a pillow that lifts your shoulders just a bit off of being, flat 180, so he says that's enough for someone who's a balbasar, meaning, or a chola. A chola would fit the same category as a balbasar. A chola has difficulty moving, so that would be enough for that person. That would fit the same category as Rabbi Yochanan, who leaned just a little bit. Okay, says the new Mishnah now. Derech Benos Yisrael, right, that's what I'm saying. Derech Benos Yisrael, Misham Shos Peshnei Edim, the Derech of Benos Yisrael, of Jewish women, is that they use two bedikah cloths around the time of Tashmish, Echoldo ve'echoldo, one for her and one for him, to check themselves, to make sure there's no dam after Tashmish. Vahatznuos, Misakno Shlishi, the Sakhanes Abayis, and the Tznuos use a third one in advance of Tashmish to make sure that they're Tahar. Rashi just points out what we already said. The second advice, Kolom Livdok Vnei Tashmish, Shalach Nasan Lebaila, what the Lekala Nashim? This isn't just a din in Tznuos. All women are supposed to do this. Kidnan Berakama, we said this in Dafir Aleph. Ubishashi over Samish is Besa. Vahadanakat Snuos. Why does it say Snuos? We already dealt with this in the Gemara. Because Snuos would never reuse a Badika cloth. H of Badekas Bolufnetash Mizeh, Ambros Bolufnetash Mish Acher. Tznuo would not use the aid that she used before one Tashmish to use again before another Tashmish, even if it was clean the first time. Which, anyway, you would think, with our modern sensibility, is like, it's like reusing toilet paper. It seems like so strange to have such a thing. But apparently that was something that they that one might do, but a tznua would not do. So nimtza al shalot tumein v'chayev karbon. So now, if you find blood on the man's bedika, so then they're both tamein chayev karbon, because there's only one place it could have come from. If you find it on the man, it had to come from inside the woman, and therefore you know and it had to be at the time of tashmish, otherwise how did it end up on the man? Nimsa al shalah, but what if you find it on her bedika cloth? So otiom tamein v'chayev karbon. If she did the bedika right away as soon as the tashmish was over, so they're both tamein v'chayev karbon. Nimsa al shalah liachar zman, but if some time passes before she does the bedika, tamein misafik p'tur min karbon. Then they're only tamein misafik and they're potter from the karbon. Ezu achar zman. How do we define achar zman? Kitei sheterid min amita v'tadiach paneha. Enough time to get off of the bed and wipe herself off. V'achar kach, and then after that, mitame me'is le'es, ein mitames ba'ala. So we have the tumah mitrabanan of me'is le'es going back 24 hours. It's said to be mitame taros, but that's a chumra that we have for taros, but it's not mitame the boel. Rabbi Kiva Omer af mitames boel, and Rabbi Kiva thinks it is mitame even the boel as well, because the old me'is le'es is not only mitame taros, the chumra of me'is le'es applies to a boel as well. Modem chum the Rabbi Kiva baro kesem shemitama es boel. And the Chacham would agree to Rabbi Kiva that if she sees a kesem, a stain, that is mitami the bubble. We'll get to what that means later on. So now, frak the Gemara, v'nechosh dul madam ha'cholesu. Why is it that we, when the man finds blood on his bedika cloth, that we automatically assume it had to be dam nida and it couldn't be anything else? Couldn't it have been a macholus? Macholus was a kind of bug that apparently was very common in their day, that if you crushed the bug, it would leave a little bit of a blood stain. So why aren't we choshish that that's what happened? That the man crushed a bug when he was boel the woman, and therefore he has some blood on his bedika cloth? So Rabbi Zeira also makom baduk veitzel macholus, because the macholus doesn't go in also makom of an isha. Vika da amri, others say, dachuku veitzel macholus. Not that a macholus doesn't hover around that area, but the machol is not able to enter, is not able to penetrate inside, because it's too narrow of an opening for the macholus to go in. My benayu, what's enough gemina, whether it's because of baduku or dachuku? So you can benayu, tishtakach macholus ritzufa. What if you find the actual bug crushed on the bedika cloth near the stain? So if you assume that it's as Rashi points out, that lelishna de baduk, if you assume that it's baduk, kivin de kimla rabbanan dein shal macholas vadedami gufahu. If the chum are sure that there's no macholas in that area, the blood had to come from her guf. Shari eiroi baduk lekodem at akinuach, and the macholas must have come from somewhere else later. But lelishna de dachuk, if you just say that it's a little tight for the macholas to get in, so then it could be that he crushed it on his way in, that he crushed that macholas. You could assume that he himself had crushed it with his own body. What if a woman takes a fresh bedika cloth, she knows that it's clean, she checked to make sure that it's clean, and then she rubs it against her thigh and doesn't look? And the next day she finds dam on her thigh. So do you assume that it has to be that dam is dam nida from the bedika cloth, which was immediately after tashmish, and therefore she and her husband are both tameh, they're both chayv karban. So amarav tameh nida, she's tameh nida. But wait a second, didn't you once tell us she's only chosheshes, but not that she's definitely tamei nida? So he didn't respond to that question, and the Gemara just confirms really tamei nida. So apparently he changed his mind, meaning he may have at one point in his life said chosheshes, but at this point he's sticking by tamei nida, and he's not changing his mind from that, based on what he said earlier. Itma. Batka be'ed she'eno badukla. Let's say a woman takes an eid she'eno badukla. Eid she'eno badukla means she takes a cloth, she grabs a handkerchief or something, but didn't check to see if the handkerchief was dirty in advance, to see if it had any blood in it in advance. And she does a bedika with that. V'nichasu b'kufsa, and then after the bedika, she puts it away in a box or a bag somewhere. Ulamachar matzah alav dam. And then the next day she finds dam on it. So I'm Rabbi Yosef, kol yomav shel Rabbi Chiya timei. Rabbi Chiya's entire life, he was metame such a case. Ul eis ziknaso tiher. And then when he got when he got older, he was mitaher. Say, Bailu, hechi kamar. What exactly was the change in psak? Is it that kol yom of timei mishum nida, uleisik nasa tir mishum nida v'tim mishum kesem? Is that when he was younger, he always thought that it was tamei vade midoraisa? And then when he got older, he said tamei mishum kesem. We'll treat it like a tumah midorabanan of a kesem. A tumas safek, not a tumas vadai. Odilma kol yom of timei mishum kesem uleisik nasu timei v'lo klum. Or maybe no, maybe he was never that strong about it. That even when he was younger, he was only mitame b'tumas safek, and then when he got older, he said absolutely tahar. So again, the case is she took an aid she'eno baduk and put it in a box, and then the next day she found dam on it. So Tosus first of all points out that aid she'eno baduk, that's what she's going to take, a cloth that has, and we're going to be mitami and isha potentially b'toras vadai based on an aid she'eno baduk. Hard to imagine. You don't know what was on that cloth. It could have been full of blood beforehand. So Tosus points out in the top Tosus on Yedalin and Beis, near Lefarish, the Yadash Hayanaki Lefnei Yom HaYomayim. It has to be that a day or two earlier she had seen that cloth and seen that it was perfectly clean. It's just that she didn't check the cloth again right before being bodek. But if she never had checked that cloth at all, and for all she knows it was full of dam, then there's no way anyone's going to be mitame here. So anyway, so we have this this change of heart from the time that he was younger to the time that he was older, but we're not sure, you know, where the shift happened. Did he go from Tumas Vadeh to Tumas Safek, or from Tumas Safek to Velo Klum? So Tashma says, now let's bring a raya. Titania, Badka Be'id She'eno Badukla, V'nichasu B'kufsa. She uses an H.A.N.O. Badukla, a non-pre-checked cloth, and then puts it in a box. Ulumachra matzah olav dam. And then the next day finds dam in it. Rebbe Yomer Tamei Mishum Nida, Rebbe Chia Yomer Tamei Mishum Kesem. So Rebbe says Tamei Mishum Nida, Rebbe Chia says Tamei Mishum Kesem. Now keep in mind, Rebbe Chia is the one who we're having this suffix about. So at some point in his life, Rebbe Chia held Tamei Misafik, Mishum Kesem. Okay, but we already knew that, meaning both possibilities have at some point of his life that is Mitamei Mishum Kesem. So what we're going to have to figure out now is when this story happened where he disagreed with Rebbe. So the conversation continues. So Amalo Rebbe Chia, Rebbe Chia says to Rebbe, Iyata Modesh Tzricha Kigris Va'od, don't you admit that in order for us to be Mitamei, it has to be larger than a Gris Va'od? A Gris Va'od is the amount of dam that a macholus would create. So if it's less than a gris va'od, anyway, you're going to assume that it's dam macholus. So aren't you agreeing to me anyway that we're in the world of ksamim over here? That whole halacha of something being larger than a penny, smaller than a penny, that's only by a stain. You don't have such a thing. By a real riyas dam, by a real riyas dam, tipas dam kechardol is mitame. So you use the terminology and the halachos of ksamim. Amnei Aval, he says, yeah, I do hold that it has to be a gris va'od in order to be problematic. So Amalo, in Cain, Afatasi su kesem. So you're treating it like a kesem. V'Rebbe Savar bin Kugris Va'od lafuka midam macholas. Now Rebbe says, I need it to be a Kugris Va'od just to ensure that it's not dam macholas. But once I'm at that point, v'kimid denavukla midam macholas vada migufa asa. Once it's no longer dam macholas, okay, then it comes from her body. So says Gemara, my lav biziknu sokai. Didn't this conversation happen b'ziknuso, habiyalduso tamei mishum nida, and therefore it's muchach that he went from saying tamei vadai to kesem, to tamei safek of a kesem? So shema mina, that's the raya. But wait a second, the Gemara didn't prove that it was b'ziknuso, the Gemara just quoted the machlokas and said, this must have been b'ziknuso. How do we know that it was b'ziknuso? So Rashi writes, how do I know it was b'ziknuso? Midapalagale de Rebbe, because Rebbe was his Rebbe. So how could he argue on his Rebbe if it was Bialduso? It must have been when he got a little bit older and he became a Talmud Chaver and he was an authority in his own right. Only then he was willing to argue on Rebbe. However, Tosel says, in Dibra Maskel Ma'ilav B'Zikunuso, he quotes Rashi, he says, Ve'ein Nira. D'metzino Harbi Talmidim Shechol Kamar Rabbam But you'll do some. A lot of times, Talmidim will argue on the Rebbeim, even when they're young. Rashbam Pirush Rabbi Chiya Tchila Lamed BeBavel Ulei Ziknoso Olav Lamed Lefnei Rabbi Kedamrin Chazmin Shacha Olav Rabbi Chiya Banav V'Yestuha. No, because the history is that Rabbi Chiya only learned by Rabbi later in his life. So this conversation with Rabbi must have been later on in his life. Va'od Yesh Lomer Mitkam Rabbi Chiya Afata Asisu Kesem. He says, Ah, you made it a Kesem. Lo Kamar Afata Rabbi. He didn't refer to him with reverential terminology. So you see, if he didn't refer to him with reverence, then it must have not been his Rebbe anymore. Now it must have been a point where there were Talmud Chaver, and he didn't have to refer to him with the same reverence. So every line of this Tosus is actually very Nogel Lemaisa. The Poskim discuss the Rishonim, or at least the very early Achronim, the major Poskim in the Balei HaShulchan Aruch, discuss the what level of respect a Talmud has to have for his Rebbe for his entire life. Meaning, is he allowed to argue with him la halacha? Does he have to always stand up for him and do it? What if the Talmud has become greater than the Rebbe? To what extent do we say that the Rebbe can always pull rank and say, you know what, I'm your Rebbe and you gotta listen to me? So there's a Tshuvas Maharik where he's very against the idea of the Rebbeim overextending their authority over their Talmidim. And he says, just because a kid learned from you, by you when he was in fourth grade or something, now he's the Gadol Adar, and you're not. You know, you're still the fourth grade Rebbe, and he's the Gadol Adar. It doesn't mean they say, oh, I'm your Rebbe, so therefore you have to listen to me. So Maruk says, and Adraba, Kachi Darka Shel Torah, if we stifle the Talmidim from being able to ask and being able to argue and being able to bring rayas against, well then the Torah Matei Alel, the Torah is going to be lost. There's a Tshuvas Mari Brona, Simon Reish Samach Tes, where he was asked to what extent a Talmud is meshubad to his Rebbe. So he says, L'inim kavod, a Talmud is always meshubad to his Rebbe. He should stand up for him, he should speak nicely to him. L'inim kavod, a Talmud is meshubad to his Rebbe. But L'inim machlokas pedin, he has absolutely no shibud to his Rebbe. And if his Rebbe is alive, he should bring his rayas and see if his Rebbe is chozer. And if his Rebbe is not alive and he thinks that the halacha is a certain way, so he's got to follow the halacha. The Trumas Hadeshin also, and Pesachim Reish Lamuches, says mutter for a Talmud to be cholik al rabba with whatever psak or hora, as long as he can prove that he's correct. And that's what we paskin in Yaradeya in Simin Reish Mem Beis. Shach just writes that from Marik it sounds like if the Talmud, that's only if the Talmud has become this chakim, you know, he's already risen to the level of being a Talmud Chaver. Then he's allowed to be cholik. But the Achronim point out, the Rav Chaim Volozhin says, it's usher for a Talmud to follow the Pesachim of his Rebbe if he thinks that they're mistaken and he's a Talmud Chacham in his own right. Sometimes you have Talmudim that they're not Talmud Chacham yet, so they're just going to follow. They don't understand why the Rebbe said usher, why he said mutter, but they don't know the whole sugya, so they trust. The Rebbe said usher, the Rebbe said mutter. And sometimes you have that they do know the whole sugya and they think that the Rebbe's making an error in judgment and that they have rayas the other way, so then it's usher for them to follow the Pesachim of the Rebbe. We've often pointed out, we once asked Rav Shechter why it is that sometimes he passes like Rav Soloveitchik and sometimes he doesn't, and he said it in a funny way, but this is exactly what he means. He said, we asked, when do you pass like Rav Soloveitchik, when don't you? He said, when Rav Soloveitchik was correct, we pass like him. When Rav Soloveitchik was incorrect, we don't pass like him. Meaning, you have to make your own judgment when you reach the point where you're able to pass your own halachas. Okay, says the Gemara further now. This place over here. So the Gemara tells a Maisa now. Mishtabach le Rebbe, the Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chama Barbisa, Dadam Gadalhu. Rebbe was telling Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, I met this amazing Talmud Chacham, Rabbi Chama Barbisa. He's an Adam Gadol. You got to meet this guy. So Amalo, look, Shevi Lachevi Eliadi, I'd love to meet him. Next time he's in town, bring him to me. We'll have a conversation. So Kiyasa Amalei, Boy Minoy Milsa. So when he came, so Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi said to Rabbi Chama Barbisa, ask me a Shaila. Meaning, let's get talking and learning. So ask me something. So Bamina, he chose to ask him the following Shaila. Our exact Shaila, where she does a Bedikah with an H.A.N.O. Baduk, with a Bedikah cloth that she hadn't pre-checked, and then she puts it away, and then she checks it the next day, and she finds Dam. So what's the din? You want me to tell you Rebbe's Shita or my father's Shita, Rabbi Yossi's Shita? Tell me Rebbe's Shita. I'm Rabbi Shmuel Zeh. Zehu Shomer Lav Adam Gadol Hu. That's the guy you're calling an Adam Gadol. Heich Manich and Devarei Rav, Hishom and Devarei Talmud. Why does he want Devarei Rebbe? Rabbi Yossi was the Rebbe of Rebbe, so he should ask for the Devarei Rav and not the Devarei Talmud. So I'm not impressed that he's an Adam Gadol. Rabbi Chaim Rabisa suffered Rebbe Reish Masiftu, Shchich Rabban Kamei Mechad Yishmaitzei. Rabbi Chaim Rabisa was under the impression that since Rebbe was Reish Masifta, so there was a lot more pilpul chaverim in his psakim, and therefore they're more reliable. So that's apparently there is some machlokas between Rebbe and Rabbi Yossi about this issue. So my Rabbi Yossi, where do we find the machlokas Rebbe and Rabbi Yossi about this? Some Rav Avraham Masna, Tana Rebbe Metame, Rabbi Yossi Metayer. That we actually have such a tradition that Rebbe was Metame in such a case, and Rabbi Yossi was Metayer in such a case. Tosfos points out that it sounds clearly from our Gemara that Rabbi Yossi was Rebbe's Rebbe, right? And Tosfos says, but that's difficult because Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us how much mutual respect there was between Rebbe and Rabbi Yossi, and it says that if Rabbi Yossi was alive, he would be kafuf yoshev lifnei Rebbe. He would sit and be in front of Rebbe and be totally kafuf to Rebbe. That doesn't sound like the behavior of a Rebbe toward a Talmud. That sounds much more like the behavior of a Talmud toward a Rebbe. Meaning, if Rabbi Yossi would sit in front of Rebbe and say kvar horazaken, because he was so kafuf to Rebbe. So Rashi over there in Sanhedrin says, no, it's because of the covenant of the Nasius of Rebbe. But in Achinami, Rabbi Yossi was the Rebbe, but Rebbe was the Nasi. So out of the covenant of the Nasius, says Tosas, come on. Then the Gemara is saying that look how much they were mechavid zeh, and uses this as a riot, that he would sit there in front of him and be kafuf to him. If it was covenant of the Nasius, that doesn't show mechavid zeh, that just shows respect for the office. So says Tosas, Zomar Rabbein Tam, de Bebach. Russo shall Rebbe, hi Rabbi Yossi Godal Yosser, Bizukunuso, Nishakim Rabbi Yosser, that originally Rabbi Yossi was the Rebbe, but then Rebbe had all these Talmidim and he had all this discussion and learning and so he grew and he became as great as Rabbi Yossi. So that's why Rabbi Yossi ultimately would have been kafuft him, because Rebbe actually became a greater Talmud Chacham later on in life. Okay, says Gemara Vayter, Vam Rabbi Zera, Kishitime Rebbe Krameir. When Rebbe was Metame, he's following Shitas Rameir, Ukshtir Rabbi Yossi La'atzmotir. And Rabbi Yossi, when Rabbi Yossi was Metayer, it was only La'atzmo, meaning it was going L'shitas Atzmo, that it was Metayer. So what does that mean? So says the Gemara, So the Gemara says, where do we find such a machlokes? So Ditnan, we have a Mishnah that's going to appear later in the Masechta. He isha shaisa osa tzracheha. A woman was urinating. Verasa damin. She finds dam in the meiraglayim. Remeir omer imo medes. If she was standing up to meya, then she's tamei, because we assume that since she couldn't prevent the urine from coming out. The meiraglayim went back to the makar and brought some dam with it. But im yosheves, but if she was sitting and everything was just flowing naturally, tahora, then she's tahora, because we assume that whatever dam came along with the urine didn't go back to the makar, didn't go back to the uterus, it was just flowing out, and the dam must have been dam makar. Rabbi Yossi over ben kach ben kach tahora. Rabbi Yossi says, in either case, she's tahora. What does that have to do with anything? So it turns out Rabbi Meir holds that even when she's omedes, we're not sure where the dam came from, but since it's raglayim ledavar, that because of the dchak of standing up and the difficulty in urinating while standing up, that the meiraglayim went back to the makar, and by the makar we know that there's dam, so we're told that the dam came from the makar. So too over here, she was bodik herself with an eichein of baduk. We don't have to be mesupak that maybe the dam was on that cloth beforehand. We're told that the more common thing, that it came from the makar. So Rebbe, who's mitami the isha, that was batka be eichein of baduk, is following Rameir. Rabbi Yossi, who's mitar the isha, is following shita. So amalei ravach b'reid rava l'ravashi v'am Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina k'shetimi Rameir lo timei el mishum kesem v'ilu Rebbe mishum nida ka'amar. But wait a second, weird that when Rameir was mitami, it was only safek, and you're telling me Rebbe holds nida vaday. So amalei anan hach kamrin kir marhi mishum nida itmar. Yeah, we have to change the version of Rameir that we have, that he actually held not safek, he held mishum nida nimsal shalo etziom tamei. So we said if she finds dam right away, if she does a bedika right away after Tashmish finds dam, then then they're both tamei vade. Tan Rabban Reiz Ushir Veses. How soon after Tashmish does have to be? Mashal Shamish Vei Shomdem Mitzad Amashkov. V'tzias Shamish Nuchaseid Avi Veses. Shomu Lekinuach Havlola Bedika. She has to have a bedika cloth in hand, and the second the husband pulls out, she immediately wipes herself, and not even an internal wipe, because that would take too long. That's considered immediate. Only then do we know if she finds dam that she's definitely tamei. Nimsal Shalol Liachazman. But if she finds Liachazman, Tanu V'Chayev Noshim Tali. Then the Chayev Ashim Tali. V'Tanu Didan My Taima. How come our Tanu doesn't say Chayev Ashim Tali? The Brisa tells Ashim Tali. Our Tanu just says that it's tamei misafik and pater mina korban. So pater from any korban sounds like. So being chaticha mishtei chatichos. Because our Tanu would say in order to be Chayev Noshim Tali, you need to have two chatichos and you ate one of them and you're not sure which one you ate. But if it's just one suffix, then he would not be mechayev nashim tali. Ezu achrasman. How do we define achrasman? So the Mishnah said enough time to get off the bed and clean yourself off. Raminu ezu achrasman. Pirush Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Tzadok. Kedei shetoshid yada tachsakaro tachsakesus v'titolei v'tivdokbo. Just enough time to reach for a bedikah cloth and wipe yourself, which probably is less time than getting off the bed. So Rav Chista my acher acher acher. Acher zman that we're defining as getting off the bed is the third time frame. It's after that where you're not even tamei misafik. I vaktani Allah nimsal shalol acher zman tamei misafik tumin ar karban ezu acher zman kitei shemin at mitav et tadiach panel. The Mishnah says explicitly that that's called acher zman. It's not acher di acher. Hachikamer. What it means to say is as follows. Ezu achrasman, kedish toshiyal taksakar taksakas vititle vitivdokbo. Achrasman is just to reach for a bedika cloth that's already in her bed. But kedish terin minamita vitiachas panel machlokas rabbi kiva chamim. But if you go even after that and enough time to get off the bed, that's machlokas rabbi kiva chamim. Iva achar kach katani, but it says achar kach after that stage. Hachikamer. Vizehu achar kach shenachlokas rabbi kiva chamim. That is the achar kach that the Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim disagree about. Okay, we'll continue this discussion with Rav Ashi tomorrow.